We're on. Open in your Bible, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. We love God. We don't like to see God getting a bad rap. Amen? God's not wrath, He's love. Amen? Say, I love God. Say, I love God. Say, I love faith. I love Jesus. I love people. I love life.
I love
love.
I love love.
Well, hallelujah. Now I know a little something about you. Amen? Glory be to God. God is love. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. God gets a bad rap for all the bad things that go on in the world. You know, the greatest revelation in all of Scripture is John 10:10. It is the greatest, greatest, Tony Tiger style. The greatest revelation in all of Scripture is John 10:10. And that's what Jesus said. The thief came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If it's killing, stealing, and destroying, it ain't God, honey. Jesus said it's the devil. That's the greatest revelation in all of Scripture. That's a revelation the people in the Old Testament didn't have. But it's a revelation we do have, and we're accountable for it. We're responsible for it. Jane, are you getting anything out of this today? Hallelujah. 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 When I don't know what to do, I go preach at Jane. Because she pulls it right out of me. Amen? Hallelujah. That's not to say I don't know what to do up here. Amen? Hallelujah. But, hallelujah. Sometimes it get rough sailing. The Holy Spirit says, preach to Jane. Preach to Jane. Boy, you'll be all right. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. You're all right. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Jane and I are having fun this morning. Genesis chapter 1. Look at right here. And God said, let us make man. I'm going to be talking to you this morning about some powerful facts to keep you on track. There's 4, 5, or 6 of them. I'm not even sure just yet, but I want to be sure you write them down. Amen. Write them down, particularly if you're called to ministry. You ought to be still in my notes. You ought to be still in my notes. I give you permission. So from this point on, it's no longer piracy. You have permission to take my outlines and turn around, preach, and put them on tape. Distribute them to the world. Amen? Amen. Write this down. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man and womb man. Raise your hand if you're a womb man. If you're a man with a womb, then it's talking to you. Amen? Not just men. It's a generic term. Amen? You're a woman because you're a man with a womb. You're a womb man. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. Please say dominion. Dominion. I love that word. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle. This is an expression of man having dominion over all of our Father's creation, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The Bible says men and women were created for dominion over the fish, the fowl, the cattle, the earth, including every evil thing. That's a good report. You have dominion over creeps. Amen. Did you get that? You have dominion over creeps. Listen, the devil's a creep. Amen? And he motivates people to do creepy things. And you have dominion over the devil that causes people to come against you. God gave you dominion in this earth. We are to be living in a position of dignity and dominion in this earth. We are not supposed to be wimpy, beat up, undercomers. We're to be strong, courageous, overcomers in this earth. The Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is He who's in you than he who is in the world. That's the devil. Amen? Listen, people think that the new order of authority in the earth is God at the top, Jesus below Him, the Holy Spirit below that, angels below that, and demons below that, and then men. Did you get it? People wrongly believe. I've heard preachers preach it. God's at the top. Jesus below Him. The Holy Spirit below Him. Angels below Him. Demons below angels and men below demons. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, man, angels, and demons in that order. Amen. We have all authority over angels in this earth. Psalm 103:20 says that they hearken to the voice of God's word when we commission them and command them to go out and fulfill God's word on our behalf. How many people woke up this morning and commissioned the angels of God to go forth and cause prosperity and protection to come to you? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to be embarrassed. I just want you to start waking up in the morning and saying, angels of God, go, go, go in Jesus' name and cause the power of the blessing to come. The Bible says in Psalm 103:20 and 21, they'll do it. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, they'll do it. The Bible says in Psalm 104, they'll do it. But someone has to tell them to go, go, go. You mean you talk to angels, Pastor? Well, you talk to the washing machine when it's not working. You call it names and kick it, the stinking car, this piece of garbage. Whew, thank you, John. I caught myself. You talk to inanimate objects, don't you, when you're angry with them? Nobody calls you nuts. Bible says we can talk to the angels of God, and they'll obey. They're there. They're there. Someone's got to tell them what to do. Psalm 103:20, 20, 20 and 21. Check it out. I didn't even plan on going here this morning, but I'm here for someone. Amen? The angels of God, Hebrews 1:14, are ministers to those, servants to those who are heirs of salvation. Have you inherited salvation through Jesus Christ? Then Hebrews 1:14 says that the angels of God are your servants. Amen? 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 Servants need to be told what to do. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't just let them sit around and make their own decisions if you have servants, do you? What you got planned today? Oh, nothing. Okay. No, you're going. Amen? And you're going to be a blessing to me. That's what you're created for. And God said that the angels of God were created to bless you. Let's take a dry run together. Say, angels,
angels,
go,
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 go, and cause prosperity,
and cause prosperity,
provision
and protection,
to come to me, and my loved ones, in Jesus' strong name. Go, 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 go. Well, thank you very much for cooperating. Now you know how to do it. Amen. You without excuse. That's how you do it. That's Bible. That's Bible. It's not religion. It's not what my religion taught me growing up, the denomination I grew up in. Hallelujah. They taught me God was out to get me. But I woke up one day and I thought, you know, I'm not that smart. He's not that stupid. If he's out to get me, how come he hasn't gotten me yet? Okay. Well, we're going to be talking about, real quick, some powerful facts that will keep you on track, help you to exercise dominion, and cause you to live in the earth as an overcomer. Amen? Each point is a sermon in itself, just like this past Wednesday night. All we can do is hit the mountaintops. Amen? But if you'll get some good notes here and write the scriptures down, you can't turn to them all with me. Amen? You can write the references down in your notes and you can look them up later. They'll bless you and they'll change your life. It's the living, holy, precious, written word of God. Amen? Number one! Hallelujah. Can you tell I love my job? Even with all the occupational hazards, I love my job. Amen? Hallelujah. I cannot be stopped. Say that with me. I cannot be stopped. And I say to you, that's my first point. You cannot be stopped. Amen. Listen to these promises of God. Write down the references. You're not going to be able to turn to them with me. You can see them later. Psalm 5:12 says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, or cause us to be shown goodwill. You will compass them as with a shield of favor." That's what God does for you, Psalm 5:12, if you're righteous through Christ. And righteousness isn't something you do. It's something you receive. We covered that last Wednesday, amen?
Amen.
We got that down?
Yes.
We got that down? We got that down?
Yes.
If you try to accomplish righteousness on your own, you're backsliding, you're backpedaling. It's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay? God surrounds. If you're born again through Jesus Christ, you are the righteousness of God, whether you feel like it, look like it, smell like it, act like it. You are the righteousness of God. And God says that He surrounds the righteous with favor. He'll cause people to be predisposed to show you goodwill, if you believe this. It's His Word. Do you believe it? Well, Kim does, Ralph does, Barbara does. It's His Word. Do you believe it? God said you are surrounded with favor as with a force field. I'm just going to read to you Isaiah 41. Oh, I wish I could preach on every one of them. Be careful, I might. Verse 10. Listen to this. This is God talking to you. Fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. All that are incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help you. That's the God of love right there, amen? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be confused. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know He will not allow me to be ashamed. Amen. That's Isaiah 57. And then Isaiah 54:17. You all know this one. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn or prove to be wrong. Everyone who speaks against you falsely, God promises to use you to prove them wrong. Going to use me to prove wrong my persecutors and evil accusers here on Cape Cod. How? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. We only know He promises it. Do you believe it? Yeah. Everyone who comes against you, He said, I will use you to confute them and to prove them wrong. I just sit back and let Him do it. Amen. I don't try to do it. Amen. Like Barbara taught this morning, when He gives us a thought and gives us a promise, we don't try to bring it to pass with our ways. We wait until He shows us how it's going to come about. Amen? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, for their righteousness is of me. If God surrounds you with favor and upholds you and confuses those who rise against you, if no weapon formed against you will prosper, if everyone who has ever spoken against you will be proven wrong, it sounds to me like you're not the one who's got the problem. It sounds to me like you're the one who's got the promise. The devil's got the problem, not you. You can't be stopped. According to these verses of Scripture, you believe them? Satan is the victim. You are the victor. He likes to get that backwards sometimes and tell you that you're his victim. You are his victim. He is under your feet. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That puts Satan beneath us, not above us. Now maybe you won't make it in one swift, sweeping act of overnight achievement. But little by little, day by day, play by play, all I can say is, hey, 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 you ain't the one with the problem. Amen. Well, that's good preaching, Yogi Bear style. Hey, boo-boo. You're not the one with the problem, boo-boo. The devil's the one with the problem, amen? It's time to awake unto righteousness, Paul said. Some folks have this backwards in their thinking. They think that Jesus rose from the dead and gave Satan power over people. He rose from the dead and gave people power over the devil. And that's why He said, if we'll submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will flee. Amen? Yes. Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen? Yes. The Ben Campbell Johnson translation of Romans 12:19 says, I am the equalizer and I'll square the books, saith the Lord. That's your promise right there. Amen? You can't be stopped. Number two. God expects me to think tough and stand strong. Simple facts to keep you on track. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll race through them today. Amen. But you note takers, you'll be blessed by it. Amen. Hallelujah. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I might have said 5. I meant 2 Corinthians chapter 10. God expects you to think tough and stand strong. Amen. Yeah. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. Amen? Although some folks say it's a crutch and it's for wimps. They don't know what they're talking about. Amen? They're speaking from ignorance. Ignorance meaning a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. Amen? It takes brass to stand with God in this earth. Did you hear what I said? Brass to stand with God in this earth. But you can do it. Amen? Greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. Amen? God expects me to think tough and stand strong. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Some people take these verses we're about to read and they use them to pull down demonic strongholds over cities, over communities, over regions, over countries. And they're taking this verse out of context. This is not, get a hold of this, what we're going to read together. This is not talking about taking authority over Satan, even though we have authority over him. People, there's a doctrine that came along 20 years ago about pulling down strongholds, demonic strongholds over cities and in people's lives from what we're going to read, and it's coming around again, and I want you to know it's erroneous. Amen? They're taking this verse of Scripture out of context, and they're building a false doctrine on it, so beware. What we're about to read is talking about your thought life, not devils. Amen? We'll talk more. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. What's the word? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against thee. Say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Imaginations, knowledge, and thoughts, Paul's talking about here. He is not talking about casting down demons over cities. Now, yes, Satan has to obey you, but this is not telling you. Has anybody heard of that doctrine? You've heard the pulling down strongholds doctrine. The whole era is built on this verse of Scripture. And when you look at it, is he talking about demons or is he talking about imaginations, knowledge, and thoughts? He's talking about your own head, baby doll, right here on the top of your neck. He's talking about casting down high and lofty thoughts, wicked, vain imaginations that attempt to exalt themselves in your mind above or against the knowledge of God. You see that? That whole doctrine of demonic warfare is completely erroneous. We don't have to do what Jesus has already done. Jesus has whipped the fire out of the devil. Amen? Pulled his pants down and humiliated him. The Bible says made an open show of him triumphantly, like they used to do when a king in the Old Testament would defeat the army of another king. They'd take their pants off and march him through town and humiliate them. The Bible says in Colossians 2, 14 and 15, put it in your notes, in Hebrews 2, 14, that Jesus has already defeated him who had the power of death. He made an open show of him and has triumphed over him. We don't have to redo what Jesus has already done. Satan's a defeated foe. Jesus said, occupy till I come, meaning enforce his defeat. Don't try to defeat him. He's already defeated. Enforce. Enforce. Key word, enforce his defeat. Listen, the devil doesn't care how much warfare you do over in the corner all night. Come down, yakety-yak, angry tongues, bro, 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 bro. As long as you're doing that in unbelief, he's going to leave you alone. He'll get you a drink. He'll bring you a little blanket, put it over your little blanket, so you'll stay over there praying, taking warfare steps against a defeated foe. Are you getting anything out of this? I'm talking out of my spirit to you this morning. God doesn't want you deceived. Some people are doing warfare with the devil, and the devil enjoys it. Because as long as you're doing warfare, you're not going to enforce his defeat. He knows you're operating in ignorance, and he doesn't have to obey you. Say, Satan!
Satan!
I enforce your defeat!
I enforce your defeat!
In Jesus' strong name. That's all it takes over your body, your family, your finances. You don't have to war. Amen? Keep your thinking in line with the Scripture. Think tough. Stand strong. Amen? And no, he's a defeated foe. Amen? There's nothing wrong with you. You are a new creation in Christ. He's made you, him who knew no sin, to be made sin on your behalf, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. You are a king and a priest. Revelation 1, 5 and 6 says you are a king and a priest in Christ. And when kings speak, servants listen or heads roll. Right? Ecclesiastes 8, 4 says, in the word of a king there's power. You just tell the devil, in the name of Jesus, by his power and authority, I bind you. That's why Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll back it up from heaven. There's nothing in the New Testament about this spiritual warfare doctrine that's been so popular over the past 20 years, and it's coming around again. That's what deception does. It recycles itself around, on average, every 20 years. It's coming back. It's coming back to Cape Cod. So let's be sure when it does that we don't welcome it with open arms and empty heads. Hallelujah. I'm very happy today. I want you to know, if I'm not smiling, I'm a very happy man today. I'm happy to know and to be able to tell you, Satan's a toothless nothing. He's a toothless nothing. He prowls around, Peter said, as a roaring lion. Lion, as one. See, he's deceiving people into believing he's got some sort of power. He doesn't. Satan has no power. God's not angry. God's not wrath. God is love. Jesus has given you a power over all the ability of the devil. That's Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you power over all the power of Satan and demon powers, and nothing will by any means harm you unless you let it. Pastor, would you move on, please? Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this? Think tough, baby. Amen. Amen. You're a world-class overcomer. You don't have to put up with no demons. Amen. Number three, God has specific people to help me. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. You're going to like this, even though we're going to have to go through it quickly. But we do have a little time left. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. God, number three, has specific people to help me. Amen. Let me give you the points again. Amen. Number one, I absolutely can't be stopped. Say it, I can't be stopped. Number two, God expects me to think tough and to stand strong. Amen. We are to cast down imaginations, not cast down demons. Amen. We tell demon spirits, you're bound. That's it. It's settled. Go in Jesus' name and walk through life victoriously, casting down every wicked, vain imagination and every high and lofty thought that says you are not what the Bible says you are. Amen. Hallelujah. You going to Ecclesiastes chapter 9? You need to know today you're a new creation in Christ. You need to know today you're the righteousness of God. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You're kings and priests. You're blessed. You're prosperous. You're free. You're overcomers and you're more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says. Doesn't sound to me like a bunch of worms being squished under the feet of a wrathful God. I'm enjoying this sermon. Are you over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love to tell folks about the goodness of my Father. Amen. My big brother Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where are we going? Ecclesiastes what? Everybody know where that is? Right after the book of Proverbs, right? Come on, Pastor. We're all there. You get there and quit telling us. Amen. Look at right here. You're going to really enjoy this. Say, oh, I'm going to like this. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11 says that I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, not yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance happeneth to us all. Time and chance, time and chance. I want you to see this time and chance happen to us all. That word time, put it in your note, means seasons. Seasons. You look it up, it says seasons. The word chance says impact. Impact. The word chance says impact in the original Hebrew. And the word happeneth is an architectural term that means to build into something. To build into something. So the King James just doesn't get it clear. Time and chance happeneth to them all. What it says is, seasons of impact are built into all of our lives. God's pre-programmed, preordained seasons of impact are built into everyone's life. God has preordained seasons of impact to bring individuals into your life to help you where you would not have received as proficiently as He wanted you to, had He not sent that person along. Say, God has people to help me.
God has people to help me.
Now say it like you're happy about it. God has people to help me. God has preordained seasons of impact into your life. He's built them into your life. Amen. Everyone in this room, everyone within the sound of my voice, you are right now heading towards another preordained season of impact. No matter what you're going through or believing God for, God has someone to help you. Amen. God had Barnabas in Acts chapter 9. We can't look at it. We don't have time. People would not receive the Apostle Paul. He was the Hitler of his day. He was the Christian killer. Amen? He was the Aminajab of his day. Is that the name of the president over there in Iran? Amen? Aminajab? I call him Aminajam. President Aminajam, because he's making the mistake of coming against Israel, he's going to be cut into little pieces, according to Zechariah 12:3. President Aminajab. Amen? Paul was the Aminajam. Of his day. He's the Hitler of his day. And when he got saved, the believers wouldn't receive him. You read this in Acts chapter 9. God sent Barnabas into Paul's life, and Barnabas was able to discern by the Spirit of God that Paul's conversion and baptism with the Holy Spirit and call of God was true. And because the believers in Jerusalem at the time had such confidence in Barnabas, they received Paul at his word. It started out, there's no way they were going to receive him. And then God sent away through Barnabas, and then Paul went on his way preaching the gospel to the believers who received him because of a divine connection, a preordained season of impact in Paul's life, a person God sent to help him, just like he sends people to help you. And when I point at you, I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Say, God has people to help me. How about when Pharaoh was killing all the babies and Moses' mother? Jochebed put him in a little raft and floated him down the river. And Moses' little sister went through the reed rushes, following it as it floated down the river. Miriam. Amen. And Pharaoh's daughter saw the little raft floating. They opened it up. There was a baby. And there the Bible says that God gave the baby favor with Pharaoh's daughter. She took the baby up, had compassion on the baby. And Miriam came through the reeds and said, you find a little baby there? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yeah. And she said, you want me to go find a Hebrew woman to nurse it for you? She said, would you? So Miriam did. Who'd Miriam get? Moses' mother. Went and got Moses' mother. Moses' mother came back with Miriam to Pharaoh's Pharaoh's daughter. It's good to breathe occasionally. Came back with Moses' mother. Pharaoh's daughter put Moses in his mother's hands and paid her to take care of him. Preordained season of impact. Did you read that in Exodus chapter 2? If you haven't, you're living in spiritual darkness. How about the little boy? With the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the moldy bread and the stinking fish. Little dirty-faced boy, dragging a basket of lunch behind him. 5,000 men, not counting women and children, out listening to Jesus preaching, nothing to eat. Preordained season of impact, that little boy. Jesus took the bread and the loaves and fed the multitudes. And get a hold of this if you need a miracle. Every time Jesus broke a piece of bread, he wasn't taken away from it. He's adding to it, baby. The laws of mathematics and physics in reverse. Every time he divided the bread, it resulted in multiplication. Every time he subtracted from the bread, addition, baby. Think about it. It's mind-boggling. God's a God of wrath. God's a God of wrath. Hallelujah. God's a God of math, and He knows something about math we don't know. Amen? Hallelujah. Since when is subtraction addition? Since when is division multiplication? When Jesus is buying lunch, that's when. It's good preaching. Because it's coming by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The list is endless. Amen? Hallelujah. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, go read it. Amen? God caused Philip to stop a revival where thousands of people were being saved and healed. He told Philip, shut it down and go out to the Gaza Strip and minister to one man, the Ethiopian eunuch. He closed down a whole revival to minister to the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen. God will do the same thing for you. Amen. Peter and John in prison. God sent angels, amen, to get those guys out of prison. In Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 12. Listen, God can send an angel into your life. I've had no less than 6 visitations of angels in my life. I've encountered them. I've seen them. I've spoken with them. I've had them speak to me, give me instructions from heaven, from God. One appeared to me and told me, I'm here on assignment from the Lord Jesus Christ to tell you, you will preach the gospel in no less than 35 nations of this earth. He said you will place your feet on the soil of no less than 35 nations of this earth and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God can send angels to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Say, God has specific people to help me. And I believe it. Hallelujah. Some people, you know, we could just go in so many directions here. Oh, God. Jesus, multiply the time the way you did the fish and the loaves. Amen. Hallelujah. God sends specific people into our lives who are called to do the same things we do. And what do? We get intimidated and we reject them. Because they're doing what we do better than what we're called to do. God sent them to help you. It's to do it better. Amen. I've always been attracted to people who teach and preach and minister the Word of God better than I do. I get underneath their anointing. I learn from Elijah and Elisha. I can get a double anointing on me if I won't get into pride or intimidation and run from people that God sends into my life who are doing what I'm called to do better than I'm doing. Some people run. Amen? Don't look at someone that God sends to help you and say, oh, I could never do that as good as they do. Yes, you can. That's why they're there. To get that anointing off on you. Amen. It's called transference of spirits. Amen. Amen? Amen? Pride is not of God. Neither is intimidation. Just humbly receive who God sends into your life. If you clean pools, don't be intimidated by the other pool cleaners. Learn from them. Amen? So I'm not intimidated by other pastors. I don't have to attack other pastors and try to put them out of business. Amen? Amen. I know God put me here. Pastors who have been attacking us on Cape Cod, you know why they do it? Because they're not confident that God's called them to do what they're doing. They're doing it in the flesh and they know it. They have no confidence. If they had confidence in God, they'd be saying, God, send 10,000 more. We need them on Cape Cod. But what do they try to run you off. Because they're prideful and or they're intimidated by you. We don't get into pride. We don't get into intimidation when God sends people around us to help us. And to, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, we have to go on, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpeneth another. Amen? Amen? God sent me into Barbara's life to sharpen her. Go on, say the other part, and you to sharpen me. I know. It's true. In many cases, it's more true. Amen? Hallelujah. You get anything out of this? I can't be stopped. God expects me to think tough, say what His Word says about myself. God has specific people to help me. I could give you more examples. Oh, hallelujah. Put this in your notes. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 26, when Saul was ordained to be king, he was intimidated. He ran and hid in the stuff. Remember that? They couldn't find him on election, on ordination day. They couldn't find him. And they prayed and God said, he's hiding in the stuff. God answered right away. He's hiding in the stuff, in the stuff. Amen? He answered right away. Listen, we have a covenant established on better and more excellent promises. If you need an answer from God today, don't think God's withholding it. God wants to talk to you now. He's talking to you now. Amen? They heard immediately. You can hear immediately. They prayed and immediately heard he's in the stuff. They went and they looked in the storage facility. And there he was behind the Tupperware and the FedEx boxes. There's King Saul hiding. They dragged him out. They appointed him, anointed him, ordained him to be king. And look at what God did for him. And first, what did I tell you to look? In 1 Samuel 10, just take 26, it says, and Saul went home to Gibeah that day, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched to help him. Listen, God can touch the hearts of an individual or bands of individuals to help you. Do not discount it anymore. Amen? And don't you try to do it. Don't you go kissing up to people trying to get them to help you. Let him do it. Amen? Don't lift your hand for or against it. Just pray and believe God. He'll do it. Amen. He has specific people to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Number four, my toughest times are my best teachers. Number four, my toughest times are my best teachers. Should we finish or should we dismiss? Shall we finish? This is good. This is so good. I can't be stopped. God expects me to think tough. Amen. And endure and be victorious. God has specific people to help me, to help you. Amen. Hallelujah. And my toughest times are my best teachers. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I think what we'll do here is just read this verse together. Amen. Persecution is going to come as you grow in the Word. Amen. This is a very positive, negative report this morning. Persecution is going to come. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. Amen. Hallelujah. So as you see the persecution your pastor's been going through, you can see it. You can know it's God's stamp of approval that Barbara and I are living as godly out of the pulpit as we are behind the pulpit. We're not putting on a show. We're paying the price for the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're going to pay the price for the anointing too. There's a price to pay. It's called persecution. Not sickness, not disease, not poverty. Those are curses of the law that Christ has redeemed you from. Amen. Persecution, for the word's sake. Are you there in 1 Peter chapter 4? We're just going to have to read through this together. You'll get something out of it. In verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Are you there? As though some strange thing happened unto you. Amen. You're not weird because you're being persecuted for you stand on God's word. You're just weird. Okay, we'll move right along. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That's talking about persecution. Did you ever see Jesus sick in the Bible? Did you ever see him broke in the Bible where he couldn't go and hold a crusade, tell the Father, sorry, Father, I ain't got the cash. Did you ever read in the Bible where the multitude showed up for healing and Jesus called in sick? Never. No, the suffering Jesus suffered was persecution. And that's what we're to suffer with him, persecution. That when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached, that is taunted and defamed. People speaking all manner of evil falsely against you for the name of Christ. Happy or blessed are ye. There's a blessing on you when that occurs. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. That's why it's coming, because God's glory is on you. That's why it's coming to our lives, because of the glory that we pay the price for. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. This is what I call stupid suffering. You shouldn't suffer as a murderer. You shouldn't suffer as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody. Say busybody.
Busybody.
Somebody told me that word's not even in the Bible recently. Busybody. And I showed her it was in the Bible. She happened to be a busybody. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. He's talking about suffering unto perfection. He's talking persecution. That's how Jesus suffered. Let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. It must first begin at us. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Look at this. Wherefore let them that suffer, please say, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. There's two kinds of suffering in the Bible. There's suffering with Jesus as our example, but we are not to suffer with him as our substitute. He suffered as our substitute in sickness, disease, poverty, and eternal separation from God. We're not supposed to suffer that way anymore. That's how Christ suffered as our substitute. He suffered as our example in persecution for the word's sake. And you're going to suffer persecution for the word's sake. Amen? If you're going to hang around here, spend any time around here at all, there's a price tag for going to this church. I'm not saying we're the best church on the Cape, or I'm the best pastor, but I'm not saying we're not. I'm saying we build on the Word of God, and the Word of God says you hang out around the Word of God, there's a price to pay. Persecution. False accusation for the word's sake. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? The Apostle Paul, 13 times in the book of Acts alone, he was mobbed by Jews who dragged him out of town, beat him, in many cases left him for dead, and he just had to move on to another community. That's one example of Paul's, I'm not about to follow. Let it be known here today. I'm staying. Amen? And we have been through some persecution, particularly by false pastors on Cape Cod. You come back 2 years from now, and I say this humbly, by the Spirit of God, Father, judge my heart, let them see my heart. You come back 2 years from now, and you see the pastors who are no longer on Cape Cod, who are even now being run off by the presence of His Word on Cape. Not just by me, I'm not the only one preaching, but this place is dripping with false pastors. Hirelings, many who have come from other countries for a paycheck. They've come to tap into the economy, not to do the will of God. They'll be gone within the 2 year period. Remember the day. Remember the date. Remember the time. Remember the message that's being recorded. Amen? Powerful facts to keep me on track. Okay, hallelujah. I spoke that to you by the Spirit of God. Amen? When we want them to go, we're not ashamed to say so. We want people to be helped. We want people to be edified, not used and eaten up and spit out and abandoned. Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm not building myself up now. Don't go out of here and saying, man, that guy's just operating in pride. I am not operating in pride. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. And I know God will defend me. And I know God will confirm me. I know that God said, no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that has risen against me falsely, accusing myself, by pastors on Cape Cod, accusing me of adultery, and my wife and I of homosexuality, and every other evil stinking thing pumped right up out of the bowels of hell, God will vindicate us. Watch Him do it. I guess I'm making an announcement today. Amen? Hallelujah. And I guess I'm saying it because God will do the same for you. Persecution comes for the word's sake. This is a very positive word. My final point to you today is God will never withdraw His love from you. So is everybody through? We're putting our Bibles away. Is everybody leaving? What's going on here? Don't we have a little... We're going to make one more point here, aren't we? Amen. God will never withdraw His love from me. 1 John 4:8 says, He who loveth not knoweth... Okay, I'll stop right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love people. Amen? This is no... I don't want to call it a business or an occupation. It's a calling. Ministry is nothing to mess around with if you don't love people. If you haven't got it in your heart to love people. Somebody said one time, A pastor said, I love everything about my job except one thing. People. It's your life. Amen. We harbor no ill will. We're talking about persecution. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You need to know when you're being persecuted for the word's sake, it's not a sign you're doing something wrong. It's a sign you're doing something right. And we tell folks all the time, if you haven't been being persecuted for your stand on God's word, you go to the Father in prayer. And you ask Him, where am I missing it, Father? Where am I out of Your perfect will? The devil's not threatened by me. He'll show you. You can correct it, and the persecution will begin again. And you'll know you're in the will of God again. Because if you're not being persecuted for the word's sake, it's because you're not living the word. And the devil's quite comfortable with you where you are. Amen? You don't want the devil ever to be comfortable with you. Amen? You want to keep him on the run. Amen. And God will never withdraw His love from me. 1 John 4:8 says, He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For God is love. God not only has love for you, but He is love. How could He not love you? Amen. Everybody smile. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 5:8 says, But God commendeth His love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were lounging around the septic tank and we swore we were at Craigville Beach having fun. And God threw out the lifeline before we even knew we were sinners. The Bible says He commended. Does that sound like a God of wrath to you? He saved us before we even realized we were in need of salvation. Amen. stepped out and did it, paid the ultimate price, gave his only begotten son, amen? And listen, he will never withdraw that love from you. God is not a God of wrath, amen? It seems almost unreasonable for someone of my limited mentality to ever try to describe the love of God. I may as well try to describe the workings of the universe. It can't be done. But I keep taking a run at it by faith. Amen? Because I know my Bible says He's love. He is not wrath. I would not sit under someone who preaches the wrath of God. I would not allow my family, my loved ones, to sit under someone preaching the wrath of God for a New York minute. Hallelujah. It's going to taint everything you believe about God. It's going to cause you to live in poverty, confusion, frustration, failure, defeat. The devil will kick your spiritual brains in. If you're listening, if you're submitting to someone who's preaching the wrath of God, you need to know that today. Amen? God is not wrath. Satan has great wrath, the Apostle John said, but God is love. Amen? One final verse of Scripture. You can even stand up while I read it to you. Amen? One final verse of Scripture. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to have Helen Robinson close in prayer. Let me just read this to you, just to give you just a little inkling of what God's love for you entails. This is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, in the Amplified Bible. And I'm going to quote it from the Amplified Bible. I am not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away from it. This is an exact quote from the Amplified Bible. You tell me if this sounds like God is wrathful. Hebrews 13, 5. He, God, Himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not. I will not. I will not. I'm quoting three times. In any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. I'm quoting. So we take comfort. We are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Say, God, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, for your provision and your protection. Say, I cannot be stopped. I will think tough and hang with the word. My toughest times are my best teachers. God has specific people to help me. And I will not reject them through comparison. God will never withdraw His love from me. And that makes me one happy camper.